If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Newton Media Group, a family of creative services, presents the Voice Over Work podcast, an eclectic collection of insights, knowledge, and trivia from some of the newest audiobooks on the market. Welcome to the podcast. I'm Russell Newton, your host, and I appreciate your listening today. Trauma and Tenacity in Vietnam, A Surgeon's Story. Written by Dr. Mary Jane Ingwe. Narrated by Russell Newton. Chapter 1. Growing Up in Alabama. McDowell damned me so many times during surgery procedures, I thought my name was Damn It Kushner, not Sheldon Kushner. He could scream at you for hours, and then, afterward, take you out for a steak dinner. Dr. Sheldon Kushner, August 2015. Dr. Sheldon Kushner was born in 1942, a war baby and the middle child of Lewis and Rose Kushner. He had two brothers, Jack, 3 years older, and Harold, 4 years younger. The boys were close growing up and supported each other. They were all good students and all school leaders in high school. Jack was closer in age to Sheldon, and the brothers were later roommates in medical school. Sheldon and his family lived in a middle-class neighborhood in Montgomery, Alabama. Their house on Felder Avenue had once been occupied by F. Scott Fitzgerald and his wife, Zelda. When Sheldon was 3 years old, the family moved to National Street in an area called Ridgecrest, an ethnically and religiously mixed neighborhood. He fondly recalled this to be a wonderful blue-collar neighborhood, with about 20 boys and a family of 4 beautiful girls. The neighborhood felt safe. The children would play together in different neighbors' yards under the supervision of the moms, whose authority was never disputed by the other parents. The neighborhood produced 4 physicians, 3 lawyers, 1 judge, 1 aeronautical engineer, 1 professional football player, 1 pharmacist, 2 teachers, and several business people. Like many southern white families, Sheldon's parents hired a black woman to take care of the children. Bertha mainly came to the Kushner home when Rose worked at the family store with her husband. Sheldon has many fond memories of and affection for Bertha. He recalled that she taught us table manners and how to act in public, especially. Chapter 2. Arrival in Vietnam, First Impressions. Saigon is a most amazing place. I was immediately overwhelmed by the filth, the smell, the crowded conditions, and the traffic. The Vietnamese are very nice people, but they can really frustrate the hell out of you. Captain Sheldon Kushner, M.D., March 1968. During the 1960s, under President Kennedy and President Johnson, there was an increase in the American military presence in South Vietnam. Because of the war in Vietnam, Sheldon was notified that he would have to serve in the military when he finished his internship in 1967. Under the Armed Forces Physician Appointment and Residency Consideration Program, or the Berry Plan, young doctors could go into the military either after their internship, after 1 year of residency, or after completion of residency. Sheldon had already been accepted to an OBGYN residency that was set to begin after his internship. However, the U.S. government intervened, and he was forced to join the U.S. Air Force before his residency began. Initially, in September 1967, Sheldon went into the Air Force and was sent for basic training to Shepherd Air Force Base near Wichita Falls, Texas. He recalled, "Part of the training involved mock mass casualty exercises. I also learned some of the mundane things like how to wear a uniform, put on the shiny buttons, and salute. None of it seemed very real." Then he was stationed in Vandenberg Air Force Base, just north of Santa Barbara, California, where he served as a general medical officer. Sheldon enjoyed the climate and was happy with his position. It was late in 1967, just before the Tet Offensive, when Dr. Sheldon Kushner was told he was going to Vietnam. Sheldon's older brother Jack had just returned from Vietnam, where he, too, had served as a general surgeon. Chapter 3, The Medical Team. Surgery, surgery, surgery all day, every day. You know, it can really get old. Captain Sheldon Kushner, M.D., September 1968. A modern, science-based, nationwide healthcare system did not exist in the 1960s in South Vietnam. According to Robert J. Walensky, writing about medicine for Vietnamese civilians, South Vietnam had only 1,400 doctors during the 1960s, and 1,000 of them were in its army. The 400 civilian physicians were generally located in the major cities to care for 16 million civilians. Walensky writes that the U.S. government funded various types of health care programs for the Vietnamese during the war. A primary care traveling program was called Medical Civic Action Program, MedCap. U.S. dental and veterinary military personnel were also part of this program. Under the Dental Civic Action Program, DentCap, dental officers and enlisted technicians provided dental treatments to the Vietnamese. Under VetCap, Veterinarian Civic Action Program, U.S. Army veterinary personnel treated sick and wounded animals, provided cattle vaccinations, and gave advice in the feeding and care of cattle and swine. A program to care for Vietnamese war-related injuries was called Civilian War Casualty Program, CWCP, and a hospital-based program to train and deliver more sophisticated care was named Military Provincial Health Assistance Program, MILFAP. Sheldon was part of the MILFAP team in Vinh Long, Vietnam. The United States MILFAP was created by the Agency for International Development, AID, and the U.S. Military Assistance Command Vietnam, U.S. MACV, to improve the health of Vietnamese civilians. Chapter 4, The MILFAP in Action. I am doing 2 to 3 to 4 major op cases a day and many, many minor procedures. This afternoon, they brought in 14 9-year-old kids whose school was blown up. 7 were dead, and 1 died shortly. A sadder sight I don't believe I have ever seen. I just wish I knew more and that I could do more for these kids. Captain Sheldon Kushner, M.D., May 1968. Sheldon settled into his new environment with the MILFAP team, and within a few days, he was performing multiple daily surgeries at Vinh Long Hospital. On March 30th, 1968, he wrote to his wife about working with the locals. His impressions reflected those of many other servicemen and women stationed in Vietnam. The Vietnamese are very nice people, but they can really frustrate the hell out of you. They're a somewhat lazy people. Their lunch break every day is from 12 noon until 2:30 p.m. They usually start late and quit early. They do not want you to advise them, which is what we're supposed to be doing. They want you to do the work for them, and they want you to do it their way. Can you imagine that? If ever there was a group of people who needed to be industrious, it is this group. Charlie or the VC are well-trained and hard-working. If we were to leave, this place would belong to Charlie overnight. Despite the rough conditions, minimal supplies, lack of help, and local customs, Sheldon and his colleagues embraced the Hippocratic Oath. They practiced medicine by serving the patient to the best of their ability. Sheldon's letters to his wife reveal his deep concerns about his ability to serve his patients and the devastating effects the war had on those civilians in Vinh Long. Sheldon was determined to master his profession, although he was often frustrated by the experience of working with the local. Chapter 5, The Long Days of Surgery Make a Better Doctor. Today, I had a very depressing day, as I had the unpleasant job of doing 4 amputations. On one little 7-year-old boy, I had to do 2 above-the-knee amputations. This gave me a very empty feeling, and I almost cried. I know they had to be done, but this little boy never did anything to anybody. What could a 7-year-old boy do? Captain Sheldon Kushner, M.D., July 1968. By his 4th month of service in Vinh Long, Sheldon had settled into a routine with his unit and used it as an opportunity to sharpen his skills as a surgeon. He summed up his long days of surgery in a letter to his wife. "Every day here is about the same. I see an endless amount of blood, guts, gore, and death. I've never seen so much death in my life. I saw more people die in 2 weeks than I saw during my entire medical school and internship period. The absolute butchery of human beings at times becomes overwhelming." The next day he added, "I wish there was something new to tell you about, but every day is the same. Surgery, surgery, and more surgery." A sentiment repeated a few months later when he said, "I'm just working and sleeping, and that's about it." They performed surgery 12 hours a day, 6.5 days a week, with a half day off on Sunday. He wrote, "I love those Sundays." Throughout this grueling schedule of 4 to 6 surgical procedures each day, one after another without rest, Sheldon wished he had more training. "Every day, I just wish I knew more so I could provide more and better medical care to these people. I assure you, however, I will continue to do the absolute best I can. I just hope that this will be enough more often than not." Looking back, Chapter 6. Medical Challenges Bring Creative Medicine. Today was another one of those dreadful days, and again, I spent almost the entire day in the operating room. This morning I went down to make rounds as I usually do on Sunday. However, instead of leaving right after rounds, I found myself there operating until 2 p.m. Captain Sheldon Kushner, M.D., September 1968. Sheldon quickly learned that the wartime circumstances in Vinh Long had an impact on the range of surgeries he performed in the hospital. Practicing medicine in Vinh Long meant treating injuries rarely or never seen during his days in Alabama. But other challenges surfaced as well. Dysentery was a problem for Vietnamese patients and even the doctors, and Sheldon saw much cirrhosis of the liver in the injured Vietnamese. People who lived on the Mekong River used the water for both cooking and bathing. Although cirrhosis was associated with alcohol use, in most cases it was a result of scarring that occurred because of contracting hepatitis from the unsanitary conditions. The homes or huchas along the Mekong were both a home, a wash basin, and the source of drinking water for the inhabitants. As a result, when Sheldon and his team opened a wound, they would often find parasites. In many cases, they even found nematode worms, Ascaris, in the intestines. Most of the civilian injuries were from guns, M16s, whose bullets traveled at 3,200 feet per second, or AK-47s, whose bullets traveled at 2,000 feet per second, or from missiles. In addition to treating the Vietnamese and many GIs for venereal disease, Sheldon treated one patient for tetanus, which was the first case he ever treated as a young doctor. Sheldon saw many types of injuries while working in the hospital. The wounds were endemic of people's living along the waterways. Chapter 7. Physical and Psychological Impact. The war is raging at a fantastic pace now, and honey, it is vicious. I see the results of it every day, and we are still working ourselves into exhaustion. Believe me, even the emergency room in Birmingham, Alabama, never even approached this. Captain Sheldon Kushner, M.D., June 10, 1968. In addition to coping with his work environment in the hospital, Sheldon experienced physical and psychological effects from his service in Vinh Long. As he told his wife, "The food was awful and the stress was unbelievable. The workload was unreal." After just 2 months, Sheldon lost 20 pounds. It was not a pleasant existence. He repeatedly wrote about his exhaustion. Typical was what he wrote to Carol on May 23, 1968. "I came in last night at 8 p.m. so completely exhausted that I ate supper and then just collapsed on the bed." Although they had a kitchen with a chef at the compound, they could not always get food since their facility was not a high priority on the supply chain for food. At times, items had to be airlifted to them. Sheldon remembers having a can of sea rations, cold ham and lima beans, that was not very appealing at 6 in the morning when it was 110 degrees outside. However, Sheldon's father sent many cans of food from the family grocery store to supplement his son's diet. Less than a month into his tour of duty, Sheldon got sick from the food. He wrote, "Today has been the worst day I have experienced here. The food here, even though purchased in the U.S., can really make you sick as hell, and today I got it, diarrhea. However, I am feeling better now, and by the time you get this letter..." Chapter 8. Back to the States. I figure I have about 22 days left in Vin Long City. There are all kinds of parties going on around here in celebration of the Tet New Year. I have not attended any of them, and I don't intend to. I have the rest of my life to party. Captain Sheldon Kushner, M.D., February 1969. When Sheldon's tour of duty ended in March 1969, he left behind his colleagues, Mac and Fred. "Today, March 2nd, 1969, I am beginning my last week here in Vin Long," Sheldon wrote his wife, "and in exactly 1 week, I will be leaving here, and in exactly 2 weeks, I will be home with you." Counting the days was a habit he had kept up throughout his tour. Sheldon was granted a 30-day leave at the end of the tour before having to report to his next assignment at Patrick Air Force Base near Cocoa Beach, Florida. He was required to take a route home that involved several plane rides, with the first leg of the homebound journey being Saigon to Travis Air Force Base in San Francisco. Sadly, after having given so much of himself trying to save the victims of the war, Sheldon was subjected to harassment by anti-war activists when he arrived at the airport in San Francisco, where they cursed him and spit on him. He felt demoralized. His next flight stopped in Texas before landing in Birmingham, Alabama, where his wife's apartment was located. While in Birmingham, he visited Dr. Walter Frohmeyer, chairman of the Department of Internal Medicine at the University of Alabama Medical School. While in Vietnam, Sheldon had corresponded with Dr. Frohmeyer about setting up his residency program. From Birmingham, he and Carol drove south about 95 miles to his parents' house in Montgomery. The first thing his mother did was to take him out and buy him a new... Chapter 9. Final Thoughts of a Veteran Surgeon. "We did a lot of surgery and saved a lot of people's lives. We filled a great humanitarian need." Dr. Sheldon Kushner, M.D., Interview, 2014. Sheldon's tour in Vietnam left its mark on him. In many ways, the experience made him a prisoner of that war. The psychological and emotional walls that his service in Vietnam created have been difficult to overcome. He returned to the United States a changed man. Like many other veterans, Sheldon's year of service as a surgeon gave him a whole new perspective about the war in Vietnam. He saw the horror of war every day as he treated wounded and fatally injured civilians in Vin Long. "The sounds and smells made a lasting impression on him." He explained, "I think I've had enough of war for a lifetime. I came back quite different than when I went over there. When I first went over there, I was ready to lead the troops over the hill to kill the Viet Cong. I was a believer in the domino theory." Sheldon was truly a war hawk, committed to making a difference in South Vietnam, because he feared that if one country were taken by an expansionist, communist neighbor, others nearby would also fall. Sheldon was upset that our military ended up injuring and killing so many Vietnamese civilians. Even though forward air control pilots marked targets with white phosphorus, the subsequent airstrikes often resulted in many civilian casualties outside the marked area. He was also upset that the United States was supporting the South Vietnamese government. "They mistreated their own people," he noted. "We were supporting a corrupt and inept government of South Vietnam. They were interested in taking our money and supplies and selling them. I can't prove it, but stuff sent to us that was used for medical care." This has been Trauma and Tenacity in Vietnam, A Surgeon's Story, written by Dr. Mary Jane Ingwe, narrated by Russell Newton. Copyright 2017 by Mary Jane Ingwe, Ph.D. Production copyright by Mary Jane Ingwe, Ph.D. Please make sure to visit Amazon.com for more information on this book and the author. With an eclectic collection of water cooler knowledge, inspirational stories, and motivational thoughts from some of the newest audiobooks on the market, this has been the VoiceOver Work Podcast, brought to you by Newton Media Group, a family of creative services.